Side 2, Dark Apprentice, The Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 2, by Kevin J. Anderson. Continuing on page 54. After Moff Tarkin had discovered Dala's true identity and realized her talent, he had secretly whisked her away, using his new authority as Grand Moff of the Outer Rim Territories. He had promoted her to the rank of Admiral, as far as she knew, the only female admiral in the entire Imperial fleet. Yet because of the Emperor's own prejudices against women and non-human races, Tarkin had kept the truth about his new admiral a secret. Dala and Tarkin had become lovers, and to keep her from coming to the Emperor's attention, he had given her command of 4 Star Destroyers assigned to guard the super-secret think tank inside the Black Hole Cluster. But now that she had come out with her battleships, ready to devastate any planet loyal to the rebellion, Dala could not conceive of handing over that authority to her former persecutors on Kurita. She took a deep breath again and faced Commander Kratos. He stood without moving, still waiting for her response. Around the bridge, other crew members looked up from their stations, but when Dala glanced at them, they quickly found other things to do. Since the factions seem to have forgotten that our true enemy is the rebellion, I think we will set an example for them. We must focus their attention on the appropriate enemy, the rebels who killed Grand Moff Tarkin, who destroyed the Death Star, who murdered the Emperor. Since Grand Admiral Thrawn was the only person in the Imperial fleet with a rank higher than my own, I must assume that my rank is now at least as high as any of the pretenders. Kratos's eyes widened, but Dala shook her head. Her long hair swirled like flickering flames. No, Commander, I have no intention of putting in my bid for what is left of the Empire. That's not a job I would relish. We'll leave that to the petty dictators. I just want to cause damage. Lots of it. Her lips curled in a snarl, and her voice grew husky. I think our best chance is to rely on hit-and-run tactics, guerrilla warfare. We have 3 Star Destroyers. That's enough to wipe out the civilizations on any number of worlds. We must hit fast and run fast. We will continue to pound the rebels for as long as we can. She glanced around the bridge to see that all personnel stood staring at her, some with wide eyes and gaping mouths, others grinning. Her crew had been bottled up for so long in the maw, ready to fight but denied any chance at action because they were forced to guard the group of prima donna weapons scientists. Dala glanced out at the Cauldron Nebula, saw the bright lights of other star systems piercing the haze of ionized gas. Many targets waited out there. She turned to the navigator station. Lieutenant, I want you to plot a course for the last known shipping lanes closest to our position.
Yes, Admiral, the lieutenant said, practically leaping toward his station.
Inform all personnel on the 3 ships, Dala said. A bold grin lit her face. She felt as if her blood had become molten copper. Her green eyes seemed to sparkle with laser bolts ready to be fired on unsuspecting prey. The fight was about to begin. Let's go hunting, Dala said, and a spontaneous cheer erupted from the bridge crew. Deep in space, the pack of Imperial Star Destroyers waited, sensors alert and scanning for the ripples of approaching ships. They hung at a hyperspace node on the far end of the Corellian trade spine, where all ships bound for Anote or Bespin or other planets along the line would drop out of hyperspace to recalibrate their course and set off on a new vector. Dala paced the Gorgon's bridge, keeping her gaze moving, watching her personnel as they waited. Waited. Her scrutiny kept them on edge, nervous, intent on performing flawlessly. She was proud of her crew. She felt confident that they could wrench a proud victory from the rebel scum. One of the lieutenants straightened at his sensor console. Admiral, fluctuations indicate a ship arriving in hyperspace. Tracking. It's coming through. Dala snapped commands. Full alert. Instruct Basilisk and Manticore to power up their turbo laser batteries. Commander Kratos whirled from his station to delegate tasks. The intense alarm signal whooped through the decks of the Star Destroyer. Stormtroopers rushed to their posts, armor and boots clattering. Gunners, Dala shouted through the intercom. Target to disable only. We must take the ship. Here it comes, said the lieutenant. Dala spun to stare at the black emptiness of space, at the stars hanging motionless in complex patterns.
A ripple appeared, like a scratch on black painted glass, and a mid-sized ship broke through into normal space and hung at a pre-programmed halt for navigational recalibration. Dalla smiled, trying to imagine the expression on the captain's face as he suddenly found himself blockaded by three Imperial-class Star Destroyers. "A Corellian corvette, Admiral," Crata said, as if Dalla could not identify it herself. She glanced at the distinctive hammerhead shape of the bridge section and the bank of 12 enormous hyperdrive and sublight rocket motors glowing blue-white with exhaust. "They're the most common galactic transports. Might just be merchants." "What does that matter?" Dalla said. "Prepare to fire. Let's test the Basilisk's repaired turbolaser batteries." "Admiral, the captain of the corvette is signaling us," the comm officer called. "Ignore it. Basilisk, open fire. Two surgical shots. Take out the rear hyperdrive units." Dalla watched, feeling the electric thrill of command. Two blinding green arrows lanced out. The first bolt spattered and diffused against the corvette's increased shields, but the second blast punched through the weakened area and crippled the rocket engines. The corvette rocked in space, then slowly spun like a dead rodent on a wire. Red-yellow glow diffused from a ruptured power core. The three Star Destroyers loomed over the crippled ship. "The corvette's captain is signaling surrender," the comm officer said. Dalla felt a brief twinge of disappointment, but brought it under control. She could not allow herself to make stupid mistakes. She had already been over-eager in pursuing Han Solo and the stolen Sun Crusher, and that zealousness had caused her to lose the Hydra. Commander Crata stepped behind her, lowering his voice. "What if this ship is not part of the Rebel Alliance? Many smugglers also use Corellian corvettes." "A point well taken," Dalla said. Long ago, Tarkin had impressed upon her that a good commander always listened to the opinions and suggestions of her trusted officers. "If the captain has connections with a smuggling network rather than the rebellion, then perhaps we can put him to work for us. We could hire some spies, saboteurs." Kratos nodded at the suggestion. "Engage a tractor beam," Dalla said. "Open the lower bay doors, and we'll draw the corvette into our hangar." Dalla toggled the narrow beam comm system by her station, and an image of an Imperial Army general rose from the Hala dais. His form flickered blue at the fringes from transmission distortion. Dalla bent over the image like a giant contemplating a toy. "General Odask, prepare your boarding party. Have you briefed your troops?"
"Yes, Admiral," came the filtered voice. "We know what to do."
Dalla whisked his image into thin sparkles of static. It would be fitting to let survivors from the Hydra be the boarding party of their first captured ship. The crippled corvette, still leaking thermal emissions from its breached power core, rose on invisible strings of the Gorgon's tractor beam. The lower bay of the Star Destroyer slid open like the jaws of an enormous carnivore. The comm officer spoke again. "Admiral, the captain of the corvette continues to ask for instructions. She sounds rather distraught." Dalla snapped around. "She? The corvette has a female captain?"
"It's a female voice, Admiral."
Dalla tapped her fingers together, pondering the new information. Women seemed to have a much easier time at gaining command in the Rebel Alliance, but the extra burden of brutal struggle had made Dalla stronger.
"Keep her in suspense."
"Capture complete, Admiral," Commander Crata said. "The corvette offered no resistance. Boarding parties are ready."
"Close the hangar bay doors," Dalla said. "Send a slicer team to drain the prisoner's computer core for information. We need maps, history tapes. We have too much to learn."
"Didn't you just order General Odask and his special crew to board the ship?" Crata said. Dalla frowned sharply at him.
"They have other orders. You follow yours."
"Yes, Admiral," Crata said in a small voice.
"Bring the captain of the corvette to the interrogation chambers. We may need to encourage a bit of truthfulness."
Crata nodded and walked briskly off the bridge. The door of the grim interrogation room sighed open with a discouraging hiss. When Dalla entered, she was disappointed to see the captured captain. A short, mouse-faced Sallustan with thick, rubbery jowls hanging around a weak chin. His great glassy eyes, pitch dark and glittering, reminded her of the black holes in the Maw cluster. The Sallustan captain jabbered in a panic, his lips wet with foaming drool. Beside him marched an old model chrome protocol droid that served as his translator. The droid moved arms and legs with humming, ratcheting motivators, as if its computer brain was so scrambled it could no longer control all of its systems at once. The droid spoke in a brusque female voice.
Admiral, I'm so glad we've finally been brought to someone in charge. Can we straighten out this difficulty? We have done nothing wrong.
Beside the droid, the Sallustan captain pushed on the tight skin cap covering his sloping head. He jabbered away with a monotonous blub, blub, blub. The droid translated.
Captain Tanun Badu demands an explanation.
The Sallustan babbled in alarm and clutched the platinum arm of the droid.
Correction. The captain respectfully requests that you be so kind as to explain your actions. Please tell us if there is anything he can do to avoid a diplomatic incident, as he has no wish to initiate any conflict.
The Sallustan captain nodded vigorously. A froth of saliva collected on his lips and ran in runnels between his flappy jowls.
Wipe your chin, Dalla said.
She looked at the horrendous interrogation chair strapped in the shadows of the room. The walls were covered with unfinished iron plates held in place by large blocky bolts. Stains marked various places that had not been cleaned after earlier interrogations. The chair itself had angled pipes and tubing, restraints, chains, spikes, most of which served no purpose other than to increase a victim's terror.
What we would like from the captain right now, Dalla said,
turning back as if ignoring the chair,
is some information. Perhaps you can provide it to us without our needing to resort to any unpleasantness.
The captain flinched in terror. The platinum female droid shifted from foot to foot and then seemed to reach a decision. The droid looked with apparent adoration at the Sallustan captain and then straightened herself and spoke in a clear, unfluttered voice.
Admiral, I can provide that information. There is no need for you to torture my captain.
The Sallustan blub, blub, blubbed again, but the droid seemed not to hear.
We are on a mission to provide supplies and new living units for a small colony on the planet Dantooine. The colony is not affiliated with the rebellion as of this moment. The colonists are harmless refugees. How many are in this colony?
Dalla asked.
Approximately 50, taken from the old mining outpost Eol Shah. They are not presently armed.
I see, Dalla said.
Well, Captain, we must liberate your assets. I believe that the cargo hold of a Corellian corvette routinely carries provisions for up to a year without restocking. I am commandeering those provisions for the service of the Empire. This colony on Dantooine will have to get their supplies some other way.
The Sallustan chittered in dismay, and Dalla skewered him with a glare.
Perhaps, Captain, you would like to step outside the airlock and file a complaint?
The Sallustan shut up instantly. The door, the interrogation chamber, sighed open again, revealing two stormtrooper guards and Commander Kratos.
Take the captain and his droid back to his ship, Dalla said,
then cocked her head down to stare at the Sallustan.
Our crew is already emptying your cargo holds, but General Odask has set his men to repairing and bypassing the damaged engine, enough that you could limp to another system.
The Sallustan bowed, speaking non-stop in his rodent-like language. The female droid stood at attention and spoke in an astonished voice.
Why, thank you, Admiral. That is most respectful of you. We appreciate your hospitality.
The stormtroopers took them away, clomping down the sterile halls of the Star Destroyer. The doors sealed shut again, leaving Dalla alone with Commander Kratos. He turned to her with wide, dark eyes below his beetling brows.
Admiral, have we lowered ourselves to the level of space pirates, attacking transport ships and stealing supplies?
Dalla removed a data pad from her hip and punched a button to call up her latest readout. She turned it toward him so he could look at the information.
I appreciate your respect for the honor of the Imperial Navy, Commander. However, before I came to see the captives, I received a report regarding the contents of the corvette's cargo hold. There are indeed supplies for a new colony. But we also found heavy weaponry, communications gear, and prefabricated equipment for starfighter hangars.
She gestured toward the door.
Back to the bridge. I want to see what happens next.
What do you mean? Kratos said.
Dalla switched off the data pad and looked at him.
You'll see. Be patient for now.
As they left, the door of the interrogation chamber slid shut, sealing behind it the darkness and the smell of fear trapped in the room. The close-up image of General Odosk flickered, but she could see the self-satisfied grin on his wide, swarthy face.
Mission accomplished, Admiral.
Excellent, General. I trust you are at a good vantage point.
Odosk nodded. I wouldn't miss it. Thank you.
Dalla turned back to the viewing window on the bridge. The wounded Corellian corvette dropped out of the Gorgon's hangar bay and drifted free in space.
Back away, she told the navigator. Order the Basilisk and the Manticore to do the same.
Yes, Admiral. The three-star destroyers spread out and moved away from the much smaller ship. The corvette's damaged rocket engine no longer glowed.
Kratos shook his head. I still can't believe you're letting him go.
Dalla intentionally spoke loud enough for the rest of the bridge crew to hear. She rarely felt the need to explain her orders to underlings, but at certain times explaining her reasoning might make them respect her even more.
Ships vanish all the time, Commander, Dalla said. If we simply destroyed this ship, it could be written off as some accident in transportation. A meteor storm, a breached reactor plate, bad navigation through hyperspace. But if we let this captain send a message first, then the Rebel Alliance will know what we have done. We can accomplish the same task, but increase the terror and chaos. Do you agree?
Kratos nodded, but he still looked doubtful. The comm officer spoke up.
The transponder we implanted in his comm system has activated. He's sending a tight beam transmission to specific coordinates.
Dalla smiled.
Good. I didn't think he'd wait until he got clear.
The comm officer pressed an ear jack to the side of his head.
He's reporting the situation, Admiral. Three star destroyers, fired upon without warning, taken prisoner and interrogated.
I think that's enough, Dalla said. She opened the comm channel.
General Odosk, proceed.
She shielded her eyes. The thermal detonators planted against the reactor walls of the 12 rocket pods detonated simultaneously, blasting the inferno open and sending a tidal wave of deadly radiation through the Corellian ship. An instant later, the raging heat evaporated the entire hull, turning it into metallic steam. The rocket pods blew up in brilliant sunbursts.